A truly godly man will not act from expediency, but from principle. Not from what is advantageous, but what is from right. That's where the real commitment comes in. What's right? Then the last thing is the preservation of Daniel. And let's read verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and they threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." In reading Daniel, one of the things that I wanted the spirit or the character of Daniel. But I realized as I read it that if I wanted that, I'd have to take his experiences with him. How many of you know you can't have the character without the experiences that form the character? That God just doesn't say, "Oh, I want to be like Daniel." He says, you got it. I mean, he doesn't have character in the right hand and patience in the left. I mean, you can't lay hands. I wish I could. I wish I could just lay hands on everybody and you'd get it. I mean, but it's not like that. Paul says, "I rejoice in my tribulation," because tribulation gives proven character. And the word in there in Romans is proven character. Character that has been tested. Character that has been proven true. If we want the life of Christ, we've got to take the death of Christ with it. If we want the glory of Christ, we've got to take the suffering of Christ with it. They come hand in hand. You can't have one out the other. You can't say, I like that. I remember a long time ago, Bob Mumford told of a dream that he had where he went into a spiritual supermarket and he saw, peace, and he saw love, and he saw patience, and he saw gifts, apostle, prophet, and he had his little basket there, and he's taking everything off the shelf, and he's putting it in there, and he just couldn't believe that he had all these gifts, all these ministries, all the operations of the Spirit, and he was about ready to leave the store, but he realized that he had to go through the checkout. And when he went over to checkout, there was a lady, and everything she took out of her basket, she rang up a price. And he says, "You mean in order to get this, I got to pay that?" And she said, "Yes." So he went back and took everything out except ushering. He felt like he could pay for ushering. There's a price. If you want his character, you've got to go through the fire that proved the character. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. The first chapter, verse 3-6. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Say that with me, shielded by God's power. Okay, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, in the fact that you're shielded by God's power, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Isn't there something wrong with this picture? I mean, on one thing he says, you're shielded by God's power. You say, ooh, great. Then he says, well, wait a minute, though now for a little while. He said, no, wait a minute, Lord, what is it? Am I shielded by God's power, or do I have to suffer? He says, both. The Lord knows how to let you go through something and still preserve you. The best example I ever heard of this is something Charles Simpson once said. He said, God has the ability to put a hand grenade down your mouth and let it go off and hold your skin all together while it explodes. I mean, how many of you ever felt God do that? I mean, put some, but all of a sudden, when it was over, I mean, you were still together. I mean, it was still there. God has that kind of power. When he says he's going to shield you, he's talking to me, he's just going to shield the things that will ultimately hurt you. There may be a little hurt now, but it's designed to keep you from a whole lot of pain later on. It's like a shield that shields out the harmful rays of the light, but lets the light come in. It's a shield that lets you go through something, but it'll preserve you in the midst of it. Let's turn over to Psalm. Keep your finger there, and let's turn to Psalm 33 real quick. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. It says, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine." Now it says here, you'll go through famine, but He'll keep you alive in the midst of it. 34 and verse 19. "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken." Now, you may get a black eye, but your bones won't be broke. I mean, God is able to shield you and still preserve you in the midst of it. God is more interested in what you become than in what happens to you. Let's turn back to 1 Peter, verse 7. It says, "These have come," these trials. Now, here's the purpose of it. "These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in the praise and the glory of God." He says, "These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, may be proved genuine," that you might show that what you have is for real. The first thing it says there is that your faith is of greater worth than gold. We need a revelation this morning that what we have in Jesus Christ is priceless. It is so valuable that it would, if we understood the value of what we had, then nothing could take it from us. You think if I had a gold bar up here as big as my Bible that you could call me a sissy and I'd put it down? Say, "Oh, only sissies carry gold, you know. Oh, well, I don't want to be known as a sissy," put it down. No. You think that you could talk me out of it? No. You couldn't do it because I know the value. You can say anything you want to say, but I got the gold. Talk all you want. Amen. And if you beat me and take it from me, I'm going to do everything I can to get it back because I understand the value of it. When you understand the value of what you have, man, you won't let it go. If it looks like a circumstance that will take it from you, you'll go through the circumstances because God is going to take the gold through the circumstances. You can go with it or not. And if you want what you want, you'll go through with it. "I ain't letting go of this gold, God. You can take me through it." He said, "Good. That's why I gave it to you. Because I want to take you through it." And then it says this. The trials come to do three things, and I'm going to quit. To prove your faith genuine. God wants to prove that what you have is for real. And He wants to prove it on three levels. Number one, He wants you to prove it to Him. God's going to find out during the day if you really mean all the things that you said when you were praying that morning. I mean, you know, it's real easy to pray. "Oh, God, I'm going to really be great today," you know. And He's going to find out later on in the day. You say, "God, I'm just going to be the greatest in traffic today. I'm not going to cuss anybody. I'm not going to beep at anybody," you know. And He said, "Okay." And then all of a sudden He squeezes you and what's on the really on the inside comes out. Because God wants you to walk in reality. He doesn't want you to walk in this super spiritual thing of what Christianity, well, Christian ought to love everybody. Well, you're looking at somebody who doesn't love everybody. I don't. I want to, but I don't. And once I admit that I don't, because you can say, "Oh, I love you," and then God will let that person do something to you to find out if there's really love in there. You understand? He wants to prove you, because if you have the real thing, you would rather go into the lion's den than to let go of it. And you're going to prove it to God. The second person you're going to do is prove it to yourself. If you have the real thing, it'll preserve you in the midst of the lion's den. God got something that is able to preserve you, and the only way He can prove that to you is put you in the lion's den. How many of you know that there's a scripture that says, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" That's exciting. But the only way God can really prove that to you, so you know that beyond a shadow of doubt, not that it's just theory, but in reality, is to put you in a situation where everybody's against you, and God is for you, and somehow you're preserved in the midst of it, and you come out with not even a smell of smoke on you. And you say, and you look at that scripture in a new way, and you say, "Man, if God be for me, who can be against me? Me and God are a majority." It's just not theory. It's just not religion. It's reality. It's genuine. God is faithful. He will not put on you more than you can bear. The only way you can do to believe that is God puts you in a situation where it looks like it's more than you can bear. But you say, "No, you're faithful." And all of a sudden, where you thought I was going to crush, all of a sudden, instead of falling down, you start moving back up. And you say, "Really? In reality, God is faithful. He won't put on me more than I can bear. He wants to prove your faith genuine through trials, through tribulations, through lions' dens. And then last, but not least, and most important, he wants to prove your faith genuine to a world that needs it. The lions' den displays the reality of your faith. When you're in the midst of a situation, let me tell you, one of God's main ways of proving to a lost and dying world that what he has to offer is for real is the persecution and the suffering of the saints. Because here we're suffering, but we stand in the midst of it. And people say, why? Because what I got is for real. Let's turn back to Daniel. Daniel 6. Daniel would rather have gone into the lion's den to let go of what he had in God. And when he was in the midst of it, that same thing that caused him to go in there was the same thing that preserved him in the midst of it. And it was the same thing that proclaimed to Darius the king and the whole world at that time that God was for real. Because you get in some tight situations, God will work a miracle on your behalf if you quit trying to work them yourself. Verse 26. He comes out of the lion's den. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it says, he says, may you prosper greatly. And he says, I'm going to issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. How many of you know he's saying this out of reality now? He rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders in heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. His staying in the lions then demonstrated to the whole world that what he had was real. And then read in verse 28, and then it says this, and so Daniel prospered. And so Daniel prospered. And so Covenant Church of Orlando will prosper. And so whatever your name is, will prosper. Let me tell you, if you're faithful to God, he'll promote you. But in the promotion, he's going to prove you. In the midst of proving you, he's going to preserve you for the purpose of prospering you. He prospered him greatly. Another way of saying it is that all things work together for good, even the lion's den. Even the lion's den. Let's stand. God's not finished with this yet.